as I stood back there in the wings waiting for the cue to come on, there came to me a recollection of a priest in Washington, D.C., a very short man, and whenever he got into the pulpit, he always had to stand on a little stool. And the particular gospel that he was reading this Sunday was, "A little while you see me, and a little while you will not see me," and he fell off the stool. The subject tonight is caring. The reason I chose this particular subject, really, was because of this incident. This particular day, I was too busy to go to dinner, so in the afternoon I went into a grocery store to buy some graham crackers. And in the back of the store was a mother with her four-year-old son. He just pulled a bottle off the shelf, a bottle of vinegar, and broken the bottle, and the pieces were on the floor along with the vinegar. The mother was saying to him repeatedly, "Pick up those pieces." And the more she insisted on it, the more he refused. And she would have loved to have cracked him, but she didn't want to look too cruel before the customers. And the father was there, and of course, he was busy, and that gave him the very happy air of neutrality. He didn't have to interfere. And finally, the mother was intense with rage. You could see what the father was saying. He was saying the kid's just exactly like her folks. And you know very well what she was saying, stubborn like the old man. And but in any case, she finally picked up the kid like a rag doll and went off the premises with him. And so it set me thinking and brought the subject of this telecast. Who won? The child or the mother? The child didn't pick up the pieces. He was weak, but he had resort to tears, which is always the last resort of weakness. She was strong, but did she win? Well, she resignated a certain amount of power, but she had to do it. And that got me thinking about the strong and the weak. And it was put very well by a European doctor, Dr. Jean de Rougemont, who said, "If I am stronger than my neighbor, I despise him. If I am weaker than my neighbor, I fear him. If I am equal to my neighbor, I resort to subterfuges to escape obedience or to assert my superiority." So that brings up the problem, how are we going to solve this tension between, well, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, and the strong and the weak? For example, when the rich help the poor, perhaps they're obsequious, and then the poor are humiliated. Learned people are impatient with those that are ignorant. And the ignorant people, too, are humbled very often when taught by those that are wise. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is caring. Now, I'm going to try to tell you what caring is. But I'm going to do it, first of all, in an abstract way, so you'll think I'm learned. Then we will give examples. And it is this. The strong must feel their weakness. Strong must feel their weakness. The rich must feel their poverty. The wise must feel their ignorance. How can this be done? Well, let the strong begin to examine themselves and find out how weak they are, first of all. You think you're real strong? Strong-minded, strong-willed? Did you keep the last New Year's resolution? Do you keep on a diet? I know a woman who went into a gymnasium and the instructor said you have to chin yourself 20 times a day. She said, which chin? And so we just the strong must ask themselves, have I been able to overcome certain habits, for example? When cocktails are free, can I resist the third? If I smoke, would I ever give up a package of cigarettes a week, say, for the poor? And then as regards the rich. You know, the angel was just cleaning my backboard. I noticed his halo was on crooked tonight. And then the same is with the rich. Let them look into themselves. They really are poor. What virtue have they? Charity? Justice? When they examine themselves, they find themselves on the inside really nothing but rags. Oh, yes, they've got something in their pocket. And the wise? They know all the books, yes. Do they know the meaning and purpose of life? So, just as soon as a strong man begins to feel his weakness, then you have a decent kind of equality. Then it's not based on law. It's not based on legal fiction. It's based really on caring and on loving. Notice how that comes out when a person has to have an operation. Go before a doctor. One doctor will say to you, you have to have this operation. It's rather serious. But you'll be in skilled hands. Do not worry. And another doctor will say to a patient, I had that operation. I came through it. Immediately there's a rapport, a relationship, a likeness, an understanding, no superiority. So there need not be in this relationship of caring any such thing as Pharisaism, moralism, looking down at the nose of anyone, simply because one really cares. Now let us apply this to ourselves. We say, well, how can we do that? How can a strong man begin to feel his weakness and so forth? Well, and how can I act toward others in that charitable fashion? Well, let us begin asking ourselves, aren't there moments when I hate myself? I know that I'm rotten on the inside. The water cooler in the office. I complain and talk in a nasty fashion about someone. Looking back over my life, it's been spoiled. Weakness, things to be hated, but I sure like myself. So, when you go into a room, despite the fact that you've often said to yourself, oh, I hate myself for that. But you take the easiest chair in the room, don't you? When you go into a restaurant and you don't like a certain kind of food, do you order it? Though you hate yourself? Now, for example, I don't like chicken. I announce that every 2 years over the television in case I'm invited out to dinner. And this is about the time to announce it. I will tell you the reason why, actually. The reason is that when I was a boy, my father would send me out to a farm during the summer vacation and sometimes on weekends. And the farmer would give chicken dinners every time I went out, and I had to wring the chickens' necks. I rang, I think, by, in round numbers, 7,683 chickens a neck. So, but when I go into a restaurant, do I order chicken? No. Despite the fact, for example, that there are many things that I know I find very despicable in myself. Now, if I, who hate myself, find much that is lovable. If I, who know all of my weaknesses, and still take good care of myself, if I am that way to myself, why can't I be that way to my neighbor who's weak too? If I have money and he does not have any, and I know on the inside how poverty-stricken I am as regards goodness, why can't I be good to him and he's poor? This is the basis of caring. Then I belong to the companionship of the needy. The fellowship of those that are looking for help. I'm not above them. I'm one with them. Did you ever ask yourself why our blessed Lord should have said, love your neighbor as yourself? Why did he not say, love your neighbor more than yourself? Well, because if you love yourself, knowing really the way you are, then if you give that kind of love to your neighbor, you really are wonderful. You're marvelous. And then, of course, the greatest reason of all is, well, I'm loved by God. Therefore, I've got to love everybody else. I must not say, for example, God loves everybody, therefore God loves me. No. God loves me. Therefore, he must love everybody. So you see, the basis of caring is this real kind of love. And what a difference it makes. Here was a girl and an only child of a husband and wife were always quarreling. She grew up unwanted, unloved. And she lost faith in fellow man. She even lost faith in herself. And so as a young woman, she was miserable and unhappy. And in the town was a rich young man who fell in love with her. And he saw beneath all of that rough exterior, not a rhinestone in the rough, but a diamond in the rough. And immediately she changed. Why? She was loved. She was cared for. She had worth. In one of our leper colonies, there was a visitor said to one of the nuns who was washing the feet of a leper. He said, "Sister, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she said, "Neither would I." But she cared because she loved. She didn't consider herself above anyone in that camp. I heard of a woman who went to a mother and said, "I would give 20 years of my life to have two children like that." And the mother said, that's just exactly what it cost me. So the inspiration, therefore, is love. And I wonder if in this day and age, why it is popular to say that God is dead. They say it's a question of semantics. I think it's a question of optics, not semantics. Not a question of words, it's a question rather of what we see. It is not God that is dead. It is love that is dead. Love. Just let any of these so-called scholars who say that God is dead go out and do a little loving. I do not mean necking, sexing, fornication, adultery, homosexuality. I mean loving. I mean caring. I mean having encounter with people. I mean realizing that we're not better than anyone else. Simply because we know ourselves better than anyone else, we know how base we are. And we cannot know nearly as much about them as we know about ourselves. Let them go out and begin to love in that way. Love their neighbor. Let them go down to some of the slums of Latin America. Go into the wards of some of our city hospitals. Go into the poor districts of the city. Let them begin to care for people. And then they will find out what love is. After all, if they do not begin to love the neighbor whom they see, how can they love God who is invisible whom they do not see? That's the place to start. Start with neighbor. Start with the needy. And that was what was done, if you remember, in the parable of the prodigal son. No, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Here is a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's waylaid by robbers, and a priest and a Levite pass by. I hate to say this, but you know, it's said that one of the reasons why the priest and Levite passed by was they found the man already robbed. Well, in any case, they passed him by. And here comes this man who did not belong to that race, to that people. And he put him upon his beast and brought him to an inn and cared for him. And then said, I will come back in a few days and pay the expenses over and above what was needed. And you know how that parable began to be told? It came from a question by a lawyer. The lawyer introduced the speculative question, who is my neighbor? And he thought that our blessed Lord would go into a long disquisition about who is my neighbor. So when it was finished, our blessed Lord said to the lawyer, now who's your neighbor? Well, he said, I suppose the one who rendered the help. So the question is not really, who is my neighbor? The question is, to whom am I a neighbor? And I'm a neighbor to everybody in the world if I love. So it's not law, it's not a question of rights. It's just a question of loving. And that was brought home to me. Last week I said to my angel, I said this, Angel, how did you get your wings? Well, he said, I am not going to tell you how I got my wings, but I will tell you how a bird got its wings. And this is what my angel said. He said, God gave birds plumage and song, but no wings. And on either side of each bird, he put a burden. Cross, care. And he said, love these burdens, cares. Love them. And the birds did love them. And they loved them not through commandment. They loved them with all their heart. They pressed these cares more and more to their heart. And finally, the burdens became wings. And that's how the birds learned to fly. And the angel said, so that's how I got my wings. I learned to care. The angel said to me after this telecast, he said, you know, you could have done really much better than that. I thought that you would treat care with far more attention than you actually did. But he said, it's all right. He said, I still care for you. Bye now, and God love you.